Who knows? The Baal Shem Tov said that we have also a tevoice or a teva. Because a teva is not only a big boat that Noach built. That is true. He built a gigantic boat, and Noach was going into the teva. But since it's a part of Torah, and Torah speaks to us, we are like Noach. Because we have a neshama, we are a yid, we're like a tzaddik, like Noach. And we also have to have a teva. Hashem wants us to have a teva. What did the Baal Shem Tov says is our teva? Raise your hand, please. Yes. The words of davening and the words of Torah and tefillah and tehillim, halakha words from Hashem. Now, why do we need a teva? Well, of course, Hashem has many reasons why he gave us the Torah, but one thing is there is a mabul, a flood that comes to us, just like in the time of Noach was a flood that wants to, chas v'shalom, destroy everything, and it's impossible to be saved except for in a special way. So we also have a mabul. Every single day is a mabul for each Jew. What or who is that mabul? The Yetzirah. He wants to just mess everything up. Everything good, he wants to chas v'shalom wipe out and destroy and mess up. Okay, now, so we have a teva, which is the words of davening, the words of Torah. Like right now, I'm speaking, hopefully, Parsha. I'm speaking a Dvar Torah from the Baal Shem Tov. Those are tevois. This is our teva. But you could be on the outside because you're not thinking about it, you're not listening, so your head is outside. Or maybe you're not sitting straight, so your feet are outside or your hands are outside. So, even though the teva is here, you're standing on the outside and the Yetzirah comes. Well, you've got nothing to save you. How do we go inside of the teva? We have to be inside of the teva. What do we have to do? Okay, well, actually, to learn it. Now, tell me, let's start with our fingers. Let's get our finger. Our finger, how does our finger go inside? You point to the place. Now, let's say you don't have words in front of you, but you're listening, okay? Where do your ears have to go now? You have to listen to what's being said. Listen now to what Rebbe is saying. Let's say we are looking inside of our chumash. Where do our eyes have to go? In the chumash. And what are we supposed to be thinking about? Something in our house? A game? Or are we supposed to be thinking about the Torah? We're supposed to be thinking. Our brain has to be inside. And what about our feet? Are we supposed to slump to the side like we're on the couch right now? Or are we supposed to sit straight? Yeshvu yesharim es panecha. Sitting straight. Then you're in the teva. Even your feet. Even your legs. Even your whole body. And our hands are supposed to be doodling around next to our desk with something and playing with a toy? Or are they supposed to be nicely doing nothing right now but just listening? Even your hands should be listening. Then your hands are in the teva. And then we are not only safe from the mabul, but what happens? The mabul comes. The teva is there. It's completely sealed up. Noach is inside. Not only the mabul does not wipe out the teva, what does it do to the teva? It lifts it higher and higher. The more water, the higher the teva goes. Now the same thing. A person's davening and the Yetzirah comes to mess him up, and he davens with more kavana, and he's davening better. Who's making him daven better now? The Yetzirah. The more Yetzirah, the better he davens. So it's lifting him higher and higher. It's trying to get to mess up his chumash learning, and he just learns better, and he listens, and he looks inside, and the Yetzirah cannot get him away from the chumash, and he's learning another pasuk, and he's learning more, and he's learning better. Who does it come out is helping him to learn even better? The Yetzirah is lifting up higher and higher. And you know what's going to happen then? The Yetzirah says, wait a minute. I wanted to mess up his davening and learning, and now he's doing even better. Let me get out of here. So the mabul goes. Now the mabul disappears. There's no more mabul anymore because it couldn't stop him. It gives up. It says like this. You know what Mesiras Nefesh is? Mesiras Nefesh is you give yourself completely over. By Kedusha, there's Mesiras Nefesh. But by the Yetzirah, there's no Mesiras Nefesh. In other words, a Yid will never give up. Will the Yetzirah give up? Yes, the Yetzirah will give up. After a while, when he sees he cannot get you, he will give up. If you don't give up, he will give up. And he will go bye-bye and leave you alone. So the Mabul is not forever. Very interesting thing that we find in Parshas Noach is the number 15. Rabbi, what are you talking about, the number 15? What's 15? Okay, first of all, how much water came in the world? It says that there were 15 amis, 15 measures of water above the world, above the mountains. It says the mountains were covered with 15 amas of water. Now, what does it matter how much water? The whole world was underwater. How much water? What does it matter? Well, if the Torah says there were 15 amas, the Torah is telling us something. It wasn't 14. It wasn't 16. In other words, the Eibishter made 15 exactly, and the Torah told us 15. Otherwise, what difference does it make? It must be telling us something. What is it telling us? And then it says, the water was coming up from the ground for 150 days. After the 40 days and 40 nights of rain, the water kept coming up from the ground for 150 days. Wait a minute. 150, if you know math, is 10 times 15. 10 times 15 is 150. What difference does it make how many days? Well, the Torah says 150. Why 150? Again, 15. Now, let's go to the Teva. How long was the Teva? 300 amas. Okay, 300 measures long. How wide was it? 50. And it was shaped like a box. Okay, let's go to the floor of the Teva. Pretend, just for to make it easy to understand, that the floor was covered with like tiles. Just for, let's say here's one amma, like long, one amma wide, a tile. Okay, a square tile. You see on the floor these squares? Okay, each one is square, a tile on the floor. Let's just pretend that the Teva was covered, the floor was covered with these tiles, one amma by one amma square. How many tiles would it take to cover the floor of the Teva? Now remember, 300 long and 50 wide. Well, I'll tell you the answer. How much is 3 times 5? Okay, 3 times 5 is 15. 300 times 50 is 15,000. Noach would have to have 15,000 tiles to cover the floor. Now, again, 15,000. What number is there? 15. So we have 15 amas of water. The water is covering the world. 150 days, the water is coming up from the ground. And 15,000 tiles to cover the floor of the Teva. It was 300 long and 50 wide, which is 15,000. Again, the number 15. Why the number 15? Okay, this is the answer. Who remembers the beginning of the trouble in the world was not the stealing in the beginning of Parshas Noach? What was the beginning of the trouble in the world? It was not the stealing that went on in Parshas Noach. It happened before that in the end of Bereishis. Can you tell me what it was?
It was because the people didn't care if the wives, if women didn't want to marry them.
Very good. Men did not respect the women. Right? They married whoever they wanted. Doesn't matter if they wanted to or not. Even if they said, no, no, don't marry me. I don't want to marry you. Well, they married him anyway. Now, this is a very terrible thing between a man and a woman. Now, from that, it spread to stealing, which means a man doesn't care about anybody. He'll even take something that belongs to somebody else. And the entire society broke down, which means nobody cared about anybody else, just himself. Now, watch the board. This is a very, very interesting, important, and beautiful Dvarateta that you boys can understand, and I'm writing it on the board. Okay, the word for man is this. Aleph Yud Shin. That spells the word Ish. That's a man. The word for woman in Hebrew is Isha. Aleph Shin and a Hey. Now, both words share two letters. I'm going to circle it in red. Both words have an aleph and a shin. Ish has an aleph and a shin, and now I'm circling an isha, an aleph and a shin. Does anybody know the meaning of the word aleph shin, aish? Do you know what aish means?
Fire. Aish means fire.
Aish means fire. Now, as we know, fire could be a wonderful thing or a terrible thing. As we know, fire could be good, fire could be bad. Fire can be good because what does mommy cook with on the stove to make a delicious meal? Fire. What makes us warm in the winter when it's cold? Fire. What makes a car go because you have to have what makes a car go when you go in your car? There's fire inside. As we know, fire does a lot of good things. But as we know, fire can chas v'shalom destroy and be very bad if it's out of control. Now, this is the way Hashem wants. Inside of a man should burn a fire. A good fire. A person's excited for Hashem. A person has lebedekite. He has life and koyach like a fire. He's excited and warm and happy. This is all ruchniyistik of fire. A person should have a fire. A man should have a fire. Inside of a isha, a woman should also burn a good fire for Hashem. And she should be warm and excited and happy and full of life. This is all good fire. But in order to have this, there has to be the other letters. Now look at the board. The man has a letter from Hashem's name. What letter does a man have from Hashem's name? A yud. Now, if the man has the letter from Hashem's name, which means he's connected to Hashem. And how do we be connected to Hashem? Torah and mitzvahs. The man is keeping Torah and mitzvahs. He's listening to Hashem. And he has the yud in his name. Then he has a good fire. If the woman, now, the woman has the letter hey from Hashem's name. Because Hashem has a name, Yud and a K. We say Yud and a Hey. Hashem has a name called Yud K. We don't say the letter Hey if we're saying it together, Yud K. Well, that's another name. Yud K Vav K is another name. There's a name of Hashem, Yud K, one of Hashem's names. The man has the Yud, the woman has the Hey. Now, if the man is connected to Hashem and the woman is connected to Hashem, together, they have Hashem's name, they have Halakite, and they have a good fire. Each one has a good fire, and between them is a good fire. Because as it says, love is called fire. So if a man loves his wife, and the wife loves the man, it's a good fire. Now, what if a man takes out the letter Yud from the name Ish, which means Chas v'Shalom? He takes out Hashem from his life. He's not listening to Hashem, not doing Torah mitzvahs. What's left over? Just fire without Hashem's name. And that could be a bad fire. It's not a good fire. There could be anger and there could be all kinds of things. That's a bad fire. What happens if the woman, Chas v'Shalom, takes out the letter Hey from her name? Because she's not doing what Hashem wants. She's not connected to Hashem. Then again, all is left is Aish. You only have the fire without Hashem's help with the fire. Now, what happened in the time of Noach? the men took out the letter Yud from their name. I just wrote the letter Yud on the board. And the women, I'm making a dash so you don't have the name together. The women took out the letter Hey from their name. And unfortunately, the fire was left without Hashem's name. Now I want to show you. Every letter has a number. How much is Yud in numbers? 10. I'm writing 10 on the board. How much is a Hey in numbers? 5. How much is 10 plus 5? 15. Hashem's name is 15. Now the Kli Yakar says like this. As we learned today, actually, remember we had a long string? One part is above and one part is below. It's like this. When men and women took out Hashem's letters from their name, that pulled down Hashem's name in the Himmel, because they are connected to Hashem's name the way it is by Hashem, Yud Kei, 15. So because they broke the name Yud Kei down below, it says they broke the name Yud Kei above, because the Neshama is connected to above, and the name of Hashem Yud Kei got broken. What happens to something if you break it? You have to fix it, right? So, Hashem said, the name, my name, Yud Kei, got broken because of the behavior between men and women. Now we have to fix the name. Did Hashem bring the marble as only a punishment or a fixing? Hashem was fixing the world. He's putting things right, and he had to fix his name. So he brought the marble in the number of 15. To show that his name, Yud Kei, which is 15, was broken. That's why. How many Amis did the water cover the world? 15. How many days did the water come up from the ground? 15 times 10. How many tiles did it take to cover the floor of the Teva? 1,000 times 15. Everything's 15. Why? To show that the marble was a fixing for Hashem's name. It wasn't only a punishment, it was a fixing. And what caused Hashem's name to break? The behavior between men and women. And that had to be fixed. So the vort is, when men and women have Hashem's name, they have a good fire and they have shalom bayis and they have everything good. If they take out the name of Hashem, they have not a good fire. Alright. Who wants to hear a story of what Golus is all about? Why would we want to hear a story about Golus? I mean, Golus is something not good. But from this, maybe we'll understand how to get out of Golus. And also, we just learned about the Pasuk, Poseach es Yodecha, U'masbi'a l'chol chai rotzoin. Hashem, you open up your hand and you satisfy every living thing with what it wants. So whatever you really want, if it's a good thing, Hashem not only will give it to you, He will satisfy you. You will feel very good and Hashem won't let you down. So either, one of two ways, either you'll get what you want or you won't get it. Aye, but you just said Hashem satisfies every living thing with what it wants. How could you then explain not getting? How could it be if you really want something and it's a kosher thing and a good thing and Hashem satisfies every living thing with what it wants and you really want it, so then how could it be that you're not getting it if Hashem is opening up His hand and satisfying every living thing with what it wants?
You get something better.
That's right. If you're not getting it, just wait. Be patient, you will get something better. Because Hashem knows, right now you don't realize what's really going to satisfy you. So yeah, I could give you this thing and you'll be satisfied for a while, but if you wait and you don't get what you wanted at first and you get something else, you're going to be really satisfied. Now this story is also about that. I want you to listen to it. There was once a king He had a son. The king was a good king, and the son was going to be the king when the father will pass away. He's now the prince. And the king knows that in order for the son to be good enough to be the new king, he shouldn't just have an easy life in the palace. He should go out and do different things to be tested, to bring out his real inner koiches, his inner powers, to develop himself, not to be just, you know, the easy life in the palace, but he has to become a man. He has to become a man ready to be the king. And so the king is going to test his son. Now you have to understand, life in the palace is beautiful and good. Beautiful things, delicious food, a good education, learning the right things, music, art. Now, we're not talking necessarily about a Jewish king. This is a mashal. This is an example, like a story to teach you something. Beautiful gardens, wonderful people. We're talking about now a good place. The kind of place anybody would love to live and be. And the prince has the best of everything. The king now says to his son, and of course the son does not know what this is all about. He doesn't know what I just told you, that he's going to be tested. His father calls him one day and he says, "Son, I want you to do a job for me, and I'm going to send you far away. And there's going to be a lot of different things I'm going to write down, and I'll explain to you what you should do, and also things you should not do. Because you're going to a place with all kinds of people and all kinds of things going on, and certain of those things you should get yourself involved in, and certain things you have to stay away from. They will not be good for you." And so the king sends his son away to this place. And the son has the list of things to do and the warnings not to do. And of course, he starts doing his jobs. But after a while, he starts getting involved in all kinds of other things that were on the list of things not to do. Different people and different things, and going to certain places he wasn't supposed to go, and doing different things he wasn't supposed to do, and he got in the wrong company with the wrong crowd, and he started not doing things on the list he was supposed to do, and slowly and slowly he went away from the way that his father wanted him to go in, and he became, unfortunately, very not good. We don't want to use the word bad, but very not good, because he kept going against what his father wanted him to do or not to do. And this went on and went on. He spent all of his money. He had to leave the place he was living in, the beautiful place, and now he was just out in the street. And he had no money, and he became a beggar. And the life was very hard. And this went on for a long time. And he was no longer doing any of the things his father wanted him to do. He became so far away from what he used to be that he even forgot that he used to be the prince in the palace. He forgot that his father was the king. And he was just going in the street, begging and doing things that people do in the street. And one day, he was wandering around in the fields, because he had no home, he had no place to go. And all of a sudden, he heard trumpets blowing. Beep, 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 beep. He turns around. He sees, it looks like a parade. Beautiful horses, beautiful wagons, soldiers, uniforms, silver, gold, fancy. What's this? He asks another beggar in the street, "What's this?" "The king is coming. The king must be on a trip traveling, or he's going for a visit maybe. Maybe he's coming here for a visit. Oh, look at that. And the other beggar says, you know what, I heard once that when the king goes on such a trip, and they blow the trumpets like that in the fields, sometimes the king stops his wagon, and whoever is there when the king stops his wagon can run to the wagon of the king and ask the king a wish, whatever he wants. And whatever he wants, he will get. Let's wait and see if the king's wagon stops. And also we can run to the king to get something. And whatever we ask the king, he will give us. And Kinalak, they run over close to the place on the road where the royal entourage is going. And the trumpets blow, pee, 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 pee. And all of a sudden the king's wagon stops right there. And the beggars run over to the king's wagon. And the beggars are asking the king for different things, whatever they are. And then it comes the beggar that we're talking about now, who of course used to be the prince. The king in the wagon. Who is the king in the wagon? His father. But he doesn't recognize his father. He has been such a beggar and in such problems and difficulties and hard life for so long, he forgot this is his father. And he forgot that he's the son, the prince of this father. And now it's his turn and he's by the wagon. And the king looks at him and the king recognized who it was. The king had known what happened to his son. The king recognized his son, but he didn't say anything. He wanted his son to recognize him. And now the king says, yes, what is your wish? Ask me anything and I will give it to you. And the prince says, in the fields, it's very hot. And usually, after I get done begging in the town, I come out to the fields because I have no more begging to do because I really did all the begging for the day. So I go out into the fields because I have no place to stay. And I'm outside and the sun is beating down on my head. So what I would like the king to do is build me like a little house, like a little hut. And that way, when I come out in the fields, I'll have a place to stay, and the roof on the little house will keep the sun from beating down on my head, and it won't be so hot. It'll be shady. And that way, I'll have a place to go every day after I get done begging in the town. That's what I'd like the king to do. And the king tells his workers, go build this man a little house in the fields. Now, did this man get what he wants?
No. Yes.
What did he want? He wanted this little house in the fields. The prince got what he wanted. He asked the king, and the king gave him what he wanted. But can you think of maybe something he could have asked the king that would have been much better? What could he have asked? What could he have asked the king? Now, he could have asked the king anything. And he asked the king something. And the king gave him. And probably he was satisfied, for a while anyway, to be in that little house in the fields. But what could he have asked the king for?
To live in the palace.
To go back to the palace. If he would have recognized who he was, that he's the prince, and this is his father, the king, he would say, Father, bring me back to the palace. I want to go back to the palace again. Where would life be better for the prince? In the little hut in the fields and staying to be a beggar, or going back to the palace, returning to his father's house, and living the beautiful life of the palace to be the prince again?
Going back to the palace.
Going back to the palace. So why didn't he ask for that? Because he didn't realize. He was in such a gullus. He didn't even realize what he really could ask for. Now, this is what it means. Hashem opens up his hand and he satisfies every living thing with what it wants. If you really want something, Hashem will satisfy you. He'll give you that thing and you won't be disappointed. But let's say you don't get it. Oh, wait a minute, I'm not satisfied. Hashem didn't give me what I really want. It could be that what you really want and you're asking Hashem for is a thing that, you know, if you let some time go and you realize more about what's really worthwhile wanting, you'll say, you know what I wanted yesterday, it's not worth wanting anymore. All of a sudden, there's a new thing to want, and it's much better than the old one. And you wait a while, and all of a sudden, Hashem satisfies you with that. You say, Baruch Hashem, I waited. If I would have gotten the first thing, it wouldn't have been good. Now I waited, and now I see what's really worth wanting, and Hashem satisfies you with that. So if you get what you want, very good. Hashem will satisfy you. And if not, don't be disappointed. You're going to get something much better. What if you don't get what you really want, or you think what you really want? What if you don't get it?
Get something more.